Shavuot Tov, and welcome to the Tanakh Podcast. Today, Sefer Zechariah, Chapter 1, Perek Aleph. And our learning today is for the Zechut of Chayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael, for their safety and success, for the swift return of all of the hostages, and for the healing of the wounded in this war in Gaza. And here we go, opening Sefer Zechariah. What a book. Our book splits into three segments. The first segment, we'll probably say chapter 1 to 6. The first six chapters are the Nevuot HaMarot, some very incredible and colorful visions that Zechariah has, frequently interacting with an angel or angels, but very, very colorful, several different scenes that we're going to already start looking at today. Then there is chapter 7 and 8, which are going to raise the question, as the second temple is being built, whether this indeed is the redemption or whether it isn't, and what it means to bring redemption. And then the last chapters, chapter 9 to 14, which are all sorts of messianic, sometimes apocalyptic, messianic visions, and some quite difficult prakim there. And we're going to deal with that. Sefer Zechariah is, of course, a Second Temple book. And in many ways, Haggai and Zechariah are a tag team. We've already spoken about Haggai, who is talking to the people at a time when the economy is down, at the time when they're in the second year of Darius, thinking that possibly revolutions in the empire could mean that they might regain their independence. And we have Haggai encouraging them to build the temple. He says, Gadol yeh kvod habayit hazeh ha'charon min harishon, amar Hashem Tzvakot. This house will be even greater than the first, and encourages them to really bring themselves to a point of building. Haggai speaks to them in the month of Elul, in the month of Tishrei, and in the month of Kislev, during the second year of Darius. But when we open Zechariah, we realize that Zechariah is lodged in the middle of those months. Because if Haggai talks in the 6th, the 7th, and the 9th month, open Zechariah, b'chodesh hashmini, b'shanat shtayim l'Dariavesh. In other words, between the first two visions of Haggai, or messages of Haggai, and the last two, here we have the prophecy of Zechariah, who comes in the 8th month of the second year of Dariavesh. Haya devar Hashem el Zechariah ben Berechiah ben Ido hanavi lemor. And so what we see is that Haggai and Zechariah are playing off each other, and they're both going to be very instrumental in trying to encourage the people that they can really build the temple. And by the way, that is indeed the end of chapter 1, which we're studying today. I'll just read the last verses just to give you the sense, and then we'll go back to the beginning. He says, Ko amar Hashem Tzvakot, ki neiti l'Yerushalayim ul'Tzion kina gedola. I have a great zealousness for Jerusalem. V'ketzef gadol ani kotzef al ha'goyim asher ananim, asher ani katzafti ma'at v'hema azru l'ra'ah. He says, and I'm very angry with all the nations. I got angry a little bit, and I wanted them to punish the Jewish people, but they really were devastating. Lachein ko amar Hashem. In other words, God is saying that the Choruban almost went out of control. He handed over the Jewish people over to their enemies, and the enemies went way too far. And he says, Lachein ko amar Hashem, shavti li Yerushalayim barachamim. I have now returned to Jerusalem in mercy. Beiti yibane ba. My house will be built there, Na'um Hashem Tzvakot. V'kav yinate al Yerushalayim. And the plumb line, the building line, will rise over Jerusalem. Od kara le'mor ko amar Hashem Tzvaot. Od tefutzenu arai me'tov. My cities will burst forth with all good. V'nicham Hashem od et Zion. And God will comfort Zion. Uvachar od b'Yerushalayim. And he will indeed choose Jerusalem. So the words of Zechariah are full of encouragement. They are, as I say, they are working off Haggai, Zechariah, and really encouraging the Jews to be able to rehabilitate their country as they've come back to build the Second Temple. So chapter 1 opens with the amazing call of God, Ko amar Hashem Tzvaot, shuvu elai nu Hashem Tzvaot va'ashuv aleichem. Shuvu elai va'ashuv aleichem. Return to me and I will return to you, he says. And he continues and says, don't be like your forefathers. Don't be like the previous generations. Asher karu aleichem ha-nevi'im ha-rishonim. This is where this phrase comes from, Nevi'im Rishonim, that the earlier prophets said, do teshuva, shuvu namidarkechem ha-ra'im, return back from your evil ways and your improper actions. And they didn't listen. Don't be like them. He says, your fathers, where are they today? But the prophets are going to be forever. And he says, therefore, what do I want you to do? I want you to come back to me. So that's the opening of the book. It's time for the Jewish people to do teshuva. Sins in particular are not specified, but this is a sort of an invitation. This is followed by a second scene, which Zachariah prophesizes about 2-3 months later. A very, very mysterious scene where he says, Ra'iti alayla v'nei ish rochev al sus adom. It's at night. I see a man riding a red horse, and he is standing bein hadasim, in the middle of myrtles, in the middle of a very thick bush, ashebim tzula. V'acharav susim adumim srukim ulevanim. And behind him were also more red horses, and dark red horses, and white horses. And Zachariah says, what are these, Adoni? What are these, he says. And the angel who talked with me said, Ere'e mahe ma'ela. I'll show you what they are. And later he explains in the next pasuk, Ela asher shalach Hashem li talech ba'aretz. These were sent out to roam the earth. And the malach then turns around and he sees the man standing in the thicket. And they say, we've roamed the earth and we have found everyone quiet. And suddenly, Vayuan Malach Hashem, suddenly the angel comes out and says, Ad matai lo terachem et Yerushalayim ve'arei Yehuda asher za'amta ze 70 shana. What do you mean the world's quiet? How long are you going to not have mercy on Yerushalayim and the cities of Yehuda, which have been under your fury for 70 years? And that's when the angel says, Devarim tovim, devarim nichumim, good things, comforting the words. And he says, and what we read before, right, Shavti Yerushalayim barachamim, beiti yibaneba, I've returned in mercy. What exactly is happening here? You know, so as I mentioned before, the prophets of Zechariah are very psychedelic. They're colorful. Here we've got red and black and white, and we're going to see flying scrolls and all sorts of, we're going to see the famous Zechariah image of the menorah and many other images. What do we make of these very, very colorful images? When you open Rashi on the very first verse of the book, he said, Stumahi me'od, Zechariah is very cryptic. Yesh bamarot domot l'chalom. You've got images which almost seem like a dream hanitan l'pitaron. Ve'enanu yucholim la'amod ala mitat pitrono. It's like a dream that needs to be decoded, and we can't decode it. Ad she'avo more tzedek, until there will be some sort of proper guide to understand it. In other words, you know, Rashi's effectively saying, I don't get all of this. And Ibn Ezra goes even further and says, you know, he says, when Nevuah was strong, right, he says, Uviota kavodim Yisrael b'terem shegalu, before the exile, ein sorach lefaresh ha-Nevuah. He says, you don't need to explain Nevuah. Nevuah is clear. He says, but after we went into Galut, like the prophecies of Daniel, he says, and like the prophecies of Zechariah, the Nevuot get much more stumot v'ne'elamot me'enei maskilim. In other words, things get cryptic, and even the prophets themselves don't understand everything. And therefore, you'll see that in the book of Zechariah, Zechariah keeps on interacting, interestingly enough, not with God, but rather with an angel. And frequently, the angel says to him, do you know what he's saying? And he says, no, I don't. And the angel has to explain to him. According to the Ibn Ezra, this was a result of prophecy waning. Prophecy, we say, was a feature of the first temple period. During the second temple period, we have Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, and then prophecy is closed. And the way Ibn Ezra sees it is that prophecy is sort of, it's running out of juice. And even the prophets themselves, they can see visions, but they can't quite interpret them. By the way, the Abarbanel thoroughly rejects all of this. He says, you're completely wrong. He says, look at Haggai, it is crystal clear. Look at Malachi, it is crystal clear. It's only Zechariah which is like this. And therefore you have to understand that there's nothing sort of low in pedigree about the prophecies of Zechariah, but rather they are deliberately cryptic, they're deliberately colorful in order to express a particular message, but this is the unique style of the prophet Zechariah. So what is the meaning of this image of the red and the black horses? What's going on here? And I would say that the easiest explanation many have been offered is that horses always represent kingdoms, as we even see in Haggai, when he talks about overthrowing kingdoms, he says, "Hafachti merkava v'rochveha, v'yardu susim v'rochvehem." Susim always, and merkava always represent kingdoms. And in the parallel image here in Zechariah in chapter 6, also we have red and black and white horses with chariots. In other words, we see the kingdoms of the world, and they say, "What is the state of the world?" And the answer is, the state of the world is calm. Kol ha'aretz yoshevet v'shoketet. And that's when the angel of God says, Amatai atalo terachem et Yerushalayim. Jerusalem is still in a state of exile, dislocation, and unrest. Why are you still angry with Jerusalem? It's been 70 years. And that's when God comes along and says, okay, you know what? I'm turning this around. Now will be a time for mercy. Now will be a time for rebuilding. That's it for today. See you tomorrow.